Leading into our time of prayer, let's share a few thoughts from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 begins, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And normal understanding of the arm of somebody, the arm of the Lord, is his power to conquer, his power to rescue, his power to enforce his will. And so then it's a great surprise as we read about this arm of the Lord in verse 2. "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem." So a great surprise. Here is God's great answer to all that oppresses, that all that brings trouble. It is the arm of the Lord, and yet he comes as one who is despised and rejected. And we also held him in low esteem. Why would the arm of the Lord be like this? So then verse 4, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The arm of the Lord is a despised servant because he took up our pain, because he bore our suffering. And the surprise is that this is the Lord's doing. It's God's doing that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is God's plan to put on him our wrongdoing, our sin. And so he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. We have some dogs, and we've had a time when our dogs got into medicine that was actually poison for the dogs. And so you've got a typical pill bottle, and they get into it. And now the question is, did they just spill it, or did they actually ingest some of this? And what do we have to do to protect them? And so it became this journey for us of searching for every last pill. Right? Because if there's any that we can't find, then either the dog could get it later, or the dog has already eaten it. And so imagine the same type of thing if you have a toddler in the house and you drop pills and they land on the floor. Every last one you've got to find, because that poison is there, and the toddler is certainly going to explore with its mouth and say, what can we do to eat this? Every last bit has to be found. Isaiah says that our iniquities had to be dealt with. God couldn't just say, "Oh, that's okay, I understand, I'll forgive you, I'll hold back justice." For God to be a just God, every last action in rebellion against him has to be dealt with. And the way it's dealt with, Isaiah says, is that the Lord put it on to his servant. God's action was to lay it on him. And so we see here that true forgiveness only comes because Jesus Christ took as his own the actual penalty for our actual sins. Not just an idea, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so what's our part in this work that God does? And that is confession. And confession is not merely admitting that I'm guilty. It's not merely admitting that I'm a sinner. It's not merely feeling regret or sorrow for the things that I've done. It's not just remembering the wrong. It's not even punishing myself for what I've done. Not even wanting and trying to do better. So there's this amazing image that we get from the Old Testament practice in Leviticus 16 when the high priest would confess the sins of the nation. And here's what we're told about what the high priest would do on the Day of Atonement. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. The confession was not merely an action to remember and say we're sorry, but the confession was putting the hand on the goat's head and actually in some sense to transfer it to the goat. Now the goat doesn't understand, and doing this action on a goat doesn't accomplish anything except pointing to the transfer of our sin, of our wrong, onto our Savior. And that goat has no idea that there's something bad coming to it, and yet our Savior does. That our Savior, Jesus, when he knew he was going to the cross, knew he was going to carry all of the weight of all of the sin, of all who would be covered by his blood. All of that. And he knew it was coming. And so I want us to think about confession tonight as verbally admitting with remorse our offenses, as an expression of transferring them over to Jesus, who endured our punishment to bring us peace. 1 John 1 gives us this great promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But notice, John doesn't say, if we confess our sinfulness. Right? It's good to confess our sinfulness and to say, yes, I fall short. But he says, if we'll confess our sins. And so this idea of this action that we take, our expression, is to confess our offenses in a way that transfers them onto Jesus. And I imagine in Jesus a look that is a combination of the grief of sin and the wrath of God and love. The deep love that he says, yes, I willingly do this for you, and yet the price that has to be paid. So we want to take some time to confess our sins, not just our sinfulness, not just an idea that we fall short, but how we fall short. And to do it in a way that we say, this I intentionally allow the Father to take from me and lay it onto the Son. Just want to give an image from the parable of the prodigal son that leads into this for us. So here's the son who took the things his father gave him, dishonored his father, left his father, and then wasted all the gifts. And then we're told, when he came to his senses, he said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. And of course, we know that he then encountered just this amazing love of the Father. But we want to spend some time now in this journey to the Father, to say, I come to my senses. I see that I fall short. I see that my sin became a burden that my Savior had to carry. And so we come to confess that and to come to our Father and to say, we ask for the mercy that Jesus purchased for us. So I'm going to open us in prayer, and then I'm just going to, for a silent time of prayer, of being this son who comes, this daughter who comes to confess. And then I'll just read a couple of passages that will prompt us in this confession that is repeated in Scripture, of coming and recognizing our holy God, and to recognize that our forgiveness is because our Savior took our iniquity, our wrong, and the punishment that was due us, and carried himself. So let's pray.